Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
I want to take you, if I may, to Hebrews, the second chapter, verse number 9. For those of you who don't understand this, we go line upon line, precept upon precept in the Word of God, always have. We just happen to be, can you imagine this coincidence? There's no coincidence with God. The Holy Spirit has set this up for you today. We just happen to be in a verse that is a resurrection day verse. Pretty exciting, huh? So God wants to speak to you today that when you walk out of this place today, you will never be the same. That God wants you to say something inside of your heart. You will hear from the voice of the Lord, not a man. And today, get ready for a great change. God wants to do something great on the inside of you. Hebrews 2nd chapter, starting in verse number 9. It says these words, but we see Jesus. Well, thank God. Stop right there that we see Jesus. At least you ought to. When the pressures of the world and trials and tribulations come, when situations you can't figure out are on you, when you don't know how to go or where to go or what to do, prayerfully you are smart enough to get your eyes off the circumstances and get your eyes on Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Here's Jesus Christ coming to this planet. You stop and think about it for a moment. He's God in eternity. He's got every blessing you can think of. He's got everything you can possibly imagine. He's a creator of the heavens and the earth. Stop and think about it. He speaks and the solar systems expand. He speaks and planets exist. Here is God who loved you and loved me so much that he broke from his side his son and sends him to this planet for you and I so that we could get right back with God. You see, somewhere along the line in the garden, we find failure in man. That man had sinned, gave away the authority that he had. There was demonic reign on this planet. And because of that sin that was in our past and in our nature from the Garden of Eden, we will find that all of us are born with sin in our blood. And no one in this room could pay the price for us to get united back with the Father except the Son, Jesus Christ. He comes as all God and all man. Can you imagine that? He goes through his life, proving his word, proving who he is. He goes to the cross. He's nailed on the cross, a beaten, bloody mess. He's buried 3 days later, raised from the dead. Today, seated at the right hand of the Father. And everybody that's born of the Spirit ought to shout every day that the tomb is empty. I don't know very much about life. I don't know a lot about everything else. But I know this without a doubt. The tomb is empty. And God is saying something to us. I remember in my life, I know some of you ought to hear this, listen closely. I remember in my life, in my 20s, seeking after who was God. Who had the rights? Who had the truth? Who really is God? And I finally came to a place where I heard about Jesus. I really looked for the word of God, finding it, finally realizing that what God said was true. You see, if God really did come, if God really did live out his life here as all God and all man, if God really paid the price for you and I, if God was really beaten to a pulp on that cross, buried and raised from the dead on the third day, if God really is seated at the right hand of the Father, if I really believe that, it demanded something from me. I really got to the place in my walk where I had to say, if I really believe this, then it's got to cause something on the inside of me. I can't just go along and acknowledge that as something, well, that's nice. It's a little story from Walt Disney. I had to come to a place of realizing that if I really believe that to be true, and some of you really don't believe it to be true today, even though you're here, but I'm going to talk to you about this now just for a moment. Some of you believe it to be true, but never let it change your life. And here's the point. When you get to the place where you realize that he really is what he says he is, he's really confirmed, he's really blessed, he really says it like it is, it's really real, he really is the Son of God, he really is the one who rose from the dead, he really is the one who left an empty tomb, he really is seated at the right hand of the Father, his blood really does wash my sins away, then you've got to come to a place of making some form of a commitment in your life. And I had to come there. I had to make a commitment. I had to come to a place where there were some demands from the cross that were on me. And these demands that the cross cried out said something about how I live my life. And when I realized that, it was at that turning point that changed everything in my existence. Today, I want to share with you what God gave me about demands from the cross. For a lot of you, you don't know what I'm talking about, but let me ask you a question. To you, life is just a crapshoot. Let me explain what I mean by that. When I was a young boy, we used to throw dice. We'd huddle down, put our money down, and we would throw that dice down, and whatever the dice came up, it's called a crapshoot. Whatever came up is whoever won the money on those dice. And whatever you got is what you got. And life is not a crapshoot. You think of life as whatever's dealt to you. That's what it is. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus has been dealt to you. You need to take Jesus in, and Jesus will change the future and give you a destiny and give you a purpose. And life is not a crapshoot. And for those of you who think that whatever is whatever, I'm here to tell you, you can change the forever because it's not the whatever that changes it. Are you hearing me? And today God wants to speak to you about something, about demands from the cross. If he really is real, then what should you do about that? What kind of a commitment should you have? And I have every day if this cross is real. And for all of us that are in here, we need to evaluate our life. We are going to use Jesus as an example because he is the one who gives us the example to live our life by. What Jesus did, we ought to be doing also. He is our example for living. He is our example for existing. He is our example of where we're going and what we're doing and what we're here for. So Jesus becomes our example. As Jesus becomes our example, he's got to be an example to do something. So Jesus is our example to want to do. Here's the first one. You've got to want to do. If he's real, if you really come to the place that what we're saying about Jesus demands need to be placed on all of us about what that cross says and how we live our life. And here's the first thing. We need to do the will of God. And sometimes we'll say, well, do the will of God. It's easy to say you do the will of God when you don't know the will of God. When you don't know the will of God, you're always wanting God to get into your will. You need to hear that again. When you don't know the will of God, you want God to get into your will. This is not about your will. It's about you getting into the will of God. God's not made after your image. God, listen to this. You are made after the image of God. Therefore, it's not my will that counts, but God's will that counts. If he's real, then I want to live my life not according to what I feel, what I think, what I calculate, what I come to a conclusion about. I want to live my life according to what he says, what he wants, what his will is. And without that kind of a commitment, then all of a sudden the cross really doesn't mean a lot to you. And God is making it very clear to all of us that we must do the will of the Lord who has paid the price for every one of us. That's not easy, by the way. Oftentimes you will know that God's will is to do something and you don't want to do it. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't work with your thinking. Your calculations and your data that you gather to come to conclusions says something completely different. And oftentimes your feelings get in the way of what you do. May I say this to you? This is not about your feelings. This is about having such a commitment that whatever God says, that settles it. I'm doing it. That's the way I live. Let me give you another illustration. I'm not even sure to this day, I never wanted to be a pastor. I happen to be a pastor of a mega, 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 mega church, one of the largest churches in America. I never wanted to be a pastor. My whole family is a business people. My whole family are people who calculate, work things out, make things happen, and do business. That's all I've ever known. That's all I've ever been brought up in. That's all I ever thought I would ever be, is a businessman. I didn't ever think about being a pastor. In fact, pastors to me were people who couldn't get real jobs. God had to show me how wrong I was. And I'm grateful for His will being done in my life. If I had done my will, I would have ended up a foolish businessman instead of a pastor of one of the greatest churches on the planet. It wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I thought. It's what I literally resisted. But I got in there because I loved Him so much. That cross demanded me to want to live not the way I feel, but who He is and what He's done. Is anybody listening? The Word of God makes it so clear, and I'll just pop it up on the overhead. Here's Jesus in Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse number 39. He's in the garden before the crucifixion. He's crying out before the Lord. A lot of people say that they teach these scriptures. They teach it as if Jesus didn't want to really go to the cross. I really, really, really believe that that is such bad theology. It's unbelievable, but you've never heard anything else but that. Oh, Jesus is saying to the Father, Father, if you could just get me out of this, I just want out of this. Let me tell you something. Jesus knew about the cross before the world was ever formed, before Adam and Eve were ever created, before sin ever took place on this planet. Jesus knew the plan of redemption. He knew He would come. He knew He would get on the cross. He knew what it was going to be like. The thing that Jesus didn't want is not the fact that He was going to get beat up, tortured, and nailed to the cross. He knows that's going to happen. What He didn't want is He didn't want the worst thing ever, which was to be separated from the Father. When He took on your sins and He took on my sins, all of a sudden, for the first time ever, here is one who has never been separated from the Father, is now going to be separated from the Father. And He says these words. In Matthew, pop it up for me, in the 26th chapter. He says these words. And He went a little further and He fell on His face and He prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, Lord, I really don't want to be separated from You. Jesus says, the words that I speak are not my words, but He that sent me. When you see me, you see the Father. He knew all about this. He wasn't fighting against not going to the cross like you've been taught so long. My goodness, it was Peter that tried to stop Him to go to the cross. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. It was Peter who cut off the ear of the soldier that came to get Jesus to take Him to the cross. And Jesus put the ear back on. Why? Because He knew He had to go to the cross. Just didn't want to be separated, but He comes along nevertheless. Even though I feel it, I know this is going to happen. The worst experience of my existence is being separated from You, Father. Not as I will, but You will. Yes. Jesus makes this statement in John, the 4th chapter, verse number 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. That's an amazing verse. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Because guys, listen to this. That is the first verse when I was in my 20s that I opened my Bible. I read, and it's the first verse I ever underlined in my Bible. I didn't know what I was getting in for. It was the will of Father, which was different than what I wanted and different than what I thought. And you have got to come to a place of determining, I'm going to do the will of God no matter what I feel, no matter what who laughs at me, no matter who makes jokes about me, no matter if I feel like it or don't feel like it. The number one thing, if the cross is really real, you've got to come to a place that you have got to determine and make the commitment to do the will of God. Second thing, Jesus as our example, to want to be faithful. A lot of times we don't realize that Jesus is going to put some pressure on you in your walk about being faithful. There's going to be some squeezes in your life. And when you are squeezed, you will find out what comes out of you. When things don't go the way you want them to go. When things don't happen the way you think they ought to happen. When life, listen to me, let me just say it like this. We're in San Bernardino. Can I just say it like it is? I would not ever say this in the pulpit area. I won't say this, but I tell you what I won't say. When life just sucks. When things and prayers don't get answered, and when things are tough, and when things you can't figure out happen in your life, it's a squeeze that comes on you to find out if you're going to remain faithful to the things of God. It's easy to serve God when everything is great. It's easy to serve God when you got money. It's easy to serve God when you got family. It's easy to serve God when you got a home. It's easy to serve God when the whole thing is working fine and everything is smooth and you go right along life like most preachers tell you. Everything's going to be great. But I'm telling you, will you be faithful in those times that are tough and you can't figure out why God? Why God? Why God? God's in control. And it's in those times that determines who you are and what you are and what comes out. And you will be tested by God. Are you following me? The book of Revelation, the first chapter, verse number 5 says about this. It says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. I love the word faithful witness. The firstborn from the dead, ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins and with his own blood. What a statement, our faithful God. He could have backed off. He could have quit. He could have given up. Stop and think about it. He had never had this kind of pressure ever before. He had never felt the whip of a person ever before in heaven and all the angels. He had never felt the persecution he was getting. He had never felt his hands ever perished before. He had never felt his body ever separated before. He had never experienced it. He could have backed off, but he didn't. When he made a commitment, he stayed with a commitment. No matter how bad the world is, that happens before our eyes. In fact, in 1 Peter, just pop it up for me. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verse number 12 and verse number 13 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning fiery darts, which is to try you. We think some problem comes and all of a sudden we say, oh my goodness sakes alive. Why did God let that happen? Let me tell you something. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that there is nothing that you're going through that is in common to man. And others have gone through it just like you. The question is whether or not you will go through it. Or you will camp in your problem. Faithful goes through it. Don't think it strange concerning fiery darts, which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened to you. Verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy, because you, why, are faithful like he was faithful. Today, two things across demands. Number one, are you going to live your life to the will of God? Because God said it, that settles it, that's the way it ought to be. And it may not fit with our ideas, but guess what? It's what God wants us to live according to the will of God. Number two, are you going to be faithful? Number three comes along. Here we find that Jesus is our example. To want to endure to the end. Guys, this is not a sprint. You're called to live life, endure to the end. This is not when things are good, I run the race. This is when things are hard and harsh, I keep running the race. When things don't make sense, I keep running the race. When I don't know if I'm going to the cross like Jesus went to the cross, I'm going to keep on running the race. A fall, 1,000 may fall in one side and 10,000 at my right hand, but I'm going to run the race and keep running the race. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. We got to finish this. We can't just be Sunday Christians or good time Christians or fair weather sailors. We've got to be people who are committed to the place that if the fact of this cross is real, it's got to speak to you. Then if he can do this and he can endure and he can get it done and the job is complete, we can complete and do and keep on going ourselves. Somebody ought to say amen. Endurance, one of my favorite verses. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse number 9, says it like this. And let us not grow weary while doing good. Why did he say that? Because you grow weary doing good things. Because you don't get the results oftentimes that you think you're going to get it as fast as you want it when you think you need it. Don't grow weary in doing good. In due season, we shall reap. I love the word if. Biggest word in the Bible. If. If you make a commitment to Christ. If you hold on and do his will. If you will be a person that's going to be faithful. If you're going to endure to the end. I'm talking if is a big word. If we do not lose heart, some of you need to get a heart before you lose it. And today we're going to take care of that. If the cross is real to you today, or did you just come to church just to come to church, or is Jesus Christ real? If he's real in your life and you want to make him real, here are three little things that you've got to make a commitment to. Number one, you've got to learn what the will of God is for your life, because it's not just what you think, it's what God says. Number two, you're going to have to be faithful when the pressure's on and something squeezes you. Let God come out. And number three, you're going to have to endure to the end. And there's a time coming when the eastern sky is going to split and the trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is coming, and he's coming for you and he's coming for me. And until then, we're going to endure to the end. Somebody ought to say amen. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what your relatives say. I don't care what the people you work with says. I don't give a flip about what politicians say. I only care about the will of God. Me remaining like Jesus, faithful and enduring to the end. And let me tell you something. The Bible says he's the captain of our salvation. That means he's gone out before us. And he says this as the captain. Come on, I've already walked the road. You can make it too. Come on, come on. I've given you my spirit. You can make it. Come on, come on, come on. Listen, you ought to give the Lord a great big praise.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about the Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.